Loving God, you provide for our every need. You feed our bodies and our souls. Nourish us, we pray, with your word today. Give us hearts open to receive and taste and see that you are good and that we are yours. Through Jesus Christ and in the power of the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. A reading from Exodus chapter 16, verses 11 through 15 and verse 31. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, what is it? For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, it is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat. The house of Israel called it manna. It was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our New Testament reading, let's make sure you can hear me. Our New Testament reading this morning is from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 1 through 15. Let us listen for a word from the Lord. After this, Jesus went out into the other side of the Sea of Galilee, also called the Sea of Tiberias. A large crowd kept following him because they saw the signs that he was doing for the sick. Jesus went up the mountain and sat down there with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was near. When he looked up and saw the large crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, where are we to buy food and bread for these people to eat? He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 6 months' wages would not buy enough bread for each of them to get even a little. One of the disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish. But what are they among so many people? Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was a great deal of grass in this place, so they sat down, about 5,000 in all. Then Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed it to them, to those who were seated. And so also with the fish, so much as they wanted. When they were satisfied, he told his disciples, gather up the fragments left over so that nothing can be lost. So they gathered them up, and from the fragments of the 5 barley loaves left by those that they had eaten, they filled 12 baskets. When the people saw the sign that had been done, they said, this is indeed the prophet who is coming into the world. When Jesus realized that they were about to come and take him by force to be made king, he withdrew again to the mountain by himself. The word of the Lord. Oh, the smell of bread. Fresh. Warm, sweet smell of fresh baked bread. It's irresistible, isn't it? It almost draws you into itself. And some breads are so hard to pass up, especially when they're fresh out of the oven, so aromatic. It's that smell that reaches you before you can even see or touch or taste the bread. I experienced that recently at chapel service at seminary. Walked into the chapel, and an aroma filled the room, that sweet aroma of bread. And I looked around to see where that could be coming from. Well, of course, it was coming from the communion table. And it was the bread that, for which we remember the gift and sacrifice of Jesus. It was the bread of life. Are you hungry for the bread of life? That day by the Sea of Galilee, Jesus met a multitude of people. They had followed him. He had gone across the Sea of Galilee and they had walked around. They had heard about him, you see. You know, he's that one who heals the sick. He's the one who teaches from the scriptures. And isn't he the one who performs miracles? We've got to go wherever he's going. What's he going to do next? We must come and see. But who can he be? Do you think he's a man of God? Do you think he's a prophet? You see, Jesus drew them in. They had heard about him, and that drew them to see Jesus. If Jesus were preaching in our world today, do you think the news of that would go worldwide? Do you think it'd be all over the internet, social media? Would it go viral on YouTube that Jesus was here? Would the aroma of his presence draw you in? Would you follow him? Would you go wherever Jesus was? The crowd that day was large, about 5,000. Sources tell us there may have been more if you counted the women and children. They were seeking something. One might say they were hungry. But for what? A leader? A prophet? A teacher? Someone to relieve their troubles? Perhaps they were looking for salvation. But not everyone in that crowd that day was a devout follower. Some may have only come to see what miracles Jesus would perform. Some came to see for themselves, not wanting to take it from the word of a friend. They did not all understand who Jesus was, but after they were fed, they knew that he was someone important. The passage tells us they thought that he might be a prophet written of in the scriptures, someone that was coming to the land. They also thought that perhaps he was a king, but their idea was that he would take them out of the dominance of the Roman government. They really didn't understand who Jesus was or what his purpose on earth was. I wonder what we are looking for today. What are we hungry for? Oftentimes you see people who may feel like they're missing something. They're not whole. They're looking for wholeness to fill that emptiness. They may be looking for direction or purpose in their life. Perhaps they're looking for peace in our busy, busy, chaotic world. Maybe they're looking for a sense of security. They're living with some uncertainty in their lives and they need to know the sense of security. Maybe they're alone and they need to know that they are loved and understood. And perhaps some have regrets or sins for which they would like to be forgiven. But where do you search for the answers to these desires of our heart? Oftentimes we go out into the world and we look to see out there. We might look in a bibliography full of self-help books. Or perhaps we fill up our schedule with so many activities that there can't possibly be anything else missing from our lives. Some may even turn to substances to take away their problems or ease their pain. And some search their whole lives for these things that they're missing, for their things that they're hungry for, without any relief whatsoever. But perhaps they're not looking in the right place. And it may sound cliche, but it's true. Jesus is that answer they seek. It is Jesus who fills our emptiness. It is Jesus who is the bread of life that satisfies our hunger. Jesus came that we might have all these things and more. Now, unfortunately, I don't think that we know that Jesus can provide these things for us. Oh, we believe that he's the Son of God. We believe that he came to earth, he lived, he was crucified, he was dead and buried, and he arose again. We read in John 3:16 that anyone who believes in him shall have eternal life. These things we know and we believe. But do we truly believe that Jesus is our Lord and Savior? Do we trust him to guide us in every part of our life? Do we trust him to provide? Or do we just call on him when we're having problems, when we're dealing with something that we can't solve ourselves? Lord, help us trust you in everything. Along with Jesus and those 5,000 waiting, hungry people that day by the Sea of Galilee were the disciples. Can you imagine what they might have been thinking that day? The plan was to be with Jesus, be alone with Jesus, maybe have a little prayer, study time, a little time to regroup and recoup. But as we all know, sometimes plans change, and they did that day. Jesus looked out and he saw the crowd and he knew what they needed. And without missing a beat, he turns to Philip and says, "Where will we buy food to feed these people?" Now, Philip was a thinker too, and he quickly did the math in his head and he says, "There's no way. It would take over 6 months' wages, 200 denarii. We don't have that kind of money. We can't buy food for all these people." But he did not realize that Jesus had anticipated his answer, and he had a plan. So Andrew came along with another idea. And Andrew, true to character, brought someone to Jesus that he thought might be able to help. Andrew was proactive, but this plan had a glitch too. You see, this little boy that he had found that had loaves and a bread and fish, only had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. That can't possibly be enough food for all these people, right? So we have 2 options. Not enough money to buy food and not enough food to go around. Unfortunately, our disciples were thinking about the situation in human terms and could only see the limitations. However, Jesus looked at those 7 items that Andrew and that little boy brought that day, and he said, "It's enough." And he provided for what the people needed, and then some. When we come to Jesus, friends, we do not have to have everything all figured out. We do not have to have things that we bring things with us. Jesus has it all figured out. Jesus knows what we need. And he says, "Come as you are. Come and be fed. It's enough." This was a miracle so significant that day that all the 4 gospel writers wrote about it. It was one that anyone present would long remember. So listen again to what Jesus did with the bread and the fish. He had all the people sit down. He then took the bread, he gave thanks, he distributed it to those who were sitting there, and likewise he did with the fish, each one getting as much as they wanted. Sound familiar? As you can see, John writes with multiple layers of meaning. He points out earlier in the passage that this is just about the time of Passover, which helps us kind of see that connection to another important meal. Jesus' language and actions were a foreshadowing of the Last Supper with his disciples. And they're also a reminder to us of the words that he shared about the bread and the cup. Jesus said that the cup is a new covenant in my blood, poured out for you for the forgiveness of sins. And the bread is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. They came, they were fed. Jesus is that bread of life. Now, have you ever had to plan and prepare a meal for a large group of people? It's not an easy thing to do. Once there was a youth leader who had planned a dinner for the church to raise money for the youth group to go on a mission trip. The menu was spaghetti, salad, bread, and cookies. And there was much planning needed if this was going to happen and going to go well. So they were planning for entertainment and decorations and advertising. And of course, you had all the activities associated with the food. And that day, everything was going very well, going according to plan. The guests arrived for dinner. Everybody was being served. But about two-thirds of the people through, it became apparent that there had been a miscalculation with the pasta. That night, they needed a loaves and fishes miracle, and they got one. The success of the evening wasn't because they planned out, because of all their planning skills, though they tried to plan it all out. Rather, it was by the grace of God that all the guests received some dinner and a wonderful show by some talented young people. I felt a little like Philip and Andrew that night, trying to figure out ways to feed the people, looking for answers within the limits of my human power, how much better it would have been to realize the presence and the power of Jesus. You know, the task of feeding the multitude was not beyond Jesus' power. And as the scripture tells us, when everyone was fed and had eaten all that they needed, Jesus said, "Go and collect the leftover food." And the disciples did. They collected 12 baskets full of bread. That's more than they started with. Jesus provided what the people needed and more. This wasn't the only time that God provided for his people, as you've heard in the Old Testament reading. God heard the cries of the Israelites, and he provided quail by evening and manna by day, and he met the needs of the people. And God said, "Then you will know that I am the Lord your God." In our passage from John, the people were looking for a sign, and people, when they saw the miracle that Jesus had done, they said, "Truly, this is the prophet who is coming into the world." The disciples knew Jesus, but when asked how they would feed the people, they did not consider the one who was asking the question. Hadn't they seen him perform many miracles and healings? Surely Jesus could handle this. But they didn't focus on Jesus. They focused on the limitations of the crowd. They did not focus on the source of all power and the source of life. They were looking out into the crowd and they only saw limitations. They did not see the one who knew no limits. They were faithful followers of Jesus. They were believers. But they sought a solution within the realm of human possibility, within the realm of their own abilities. You know, the disciples are not unlike Christians today. They're like us. We know Jesus. We know about the miracles. We know about the healings that he did. We know the gospel message of salvation. And yet, we still see difficulties and situations rather than the possibilities with Christ. We wonder how we will be able to solve the problems we face within our own abilities rather than relying on God to guide us. And we struggle with our doubts and our worries and our fears. On a cold January night, a friend of mine was ill and came to me for a ride to the hospital. I said, "Of course." But I was relatively new to town, and I did not know the way to the closest hospital. I remembered another friend who I thought might know the way. So we called her and she came. But unfortunately, she too did not know the way to the hospital, but she did have a GPS. So we got in the car and off we went, and I started driving, not knowing where I was going. She set up her GPS, and pretty soon the GPS figured out where we were, and it mapped out a way to the hospital. It gave us step-by-step directions. And it was late that night. I wasn't sure where we were going, and I thought that GPS was directing us on some crazy scenic route that I did not have time for, and I feared for my friend's well-being. But I didn't know where to go, so I followed the directions I was given. We arrived at the hospital, And after many tests and consultations, my friend underwent surgery. Later, I found out that her family, when they had arrived, they had done some research on this hospital we had gone to. And we learned that they specialized in the kind of medicine that my friend needed. We didn't know where to go that night, but God did. And God provided the directions to the very best place. God provided what we needed, when we needed it, and more. Friends, God doesn't promise us a life free of problems. But the good news is, when problems arise, God is there with us. We're not alone. We have the source of all power with us, the one who knows no limits, the one who provides for our needs. Jesus took the bread and the fish that day by the Sea of Galilee. He blessed it, and he gave it to the people. He provided for the needs of the 5,000, and he provides for our needs today. Jesus satisfies our hunger. He gives us direction and purpose, love and understanding. He gives us peace when we feel insecure, and he forgives us and makes us whole. Jesus gave himself for us that we might live. He is the bread that was broken for us. Take and see that the Lord is good. Take Christ in and be filled to overflowing. Are you hungry? Come and be fed. To God be the glory.